Have you in the house of the Lord today? If you would, let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Boy, I'm froggy this morning. Thank you, buddy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I'm going to try to finish this. I've been doing a series out of 1 Corinthians 15, and on Sunday evenings, I'm doing another series. And we'll try to finish that here in the next couple weeks. But today, good Lord willing, we'll finish this particular series today. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you remain seated this time. But I'm going to go ahead and read what we're going to try to cover today out of 1 Corinthians 15. What 1 Corinthians 15 is known for, it's the resurrection chapter. One of the greatest chapters in the whole book is 1 Corinthians 15. And that's why I took the time to work through it a little bit so you would be acquainted with it. Most generally, the only time you hear it used many times is at a funeral service. That we like to use it in happy times, too. It's a glorious thing to have the resurrection. It would be an awful world if there wasn't a resurrection of the just. And aren't you glad we have one? If we didn't have the resurrection of the just, we wouldn't have a whole lot at all. Well, really nothing to look forward to. I look forward to eternity. I look forward to seeing the Lord. I look forward to heaven. And I hope you have that same hope that I have here today. I want you to have that. People, a lot of times in this world, they just look after and live for worldly things, but they often look over the eternal things, which is the most important thing. Where you spend your eternity at is the most important thing there is. And now that you know that, and now that you know that Christ is the Savior and all, He expects you to serve Him. He expects you to serve Him all your days. And that's what we want to do. Is that not true? We want to serve Him all of our days. And one of the reasons we come to church is to worship Him and to praise Him for the things that He's done for us. So let's go ahead now and let's begin. I'm going to read at verse 35 and we'll have another word of prayer. And then we'll get started on the message. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And to every seed, his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There is celestial bodies, which means heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, which means earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit there was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as it is earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today that for the number of people that are here this morning, we pray for the unction of the Spirit of the living God, Lord, that you'd come in this place today and fill it with your presence. We pray that if anybody listening today has never trusted you as Savior, we pray that they would this very day. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. All right, I'm going to give you my outline in the beginning if you want to write it down. That way you'll know what we'll be doing. We'll look at the two questions in verse 35. The two questions in verse 35. The number two will be the illustration of sowing seed. And that's going to be in two parts, and that's going to be verse 36 through 38, the illustration of sowing seeds, and then verse 42 through 44. Number three, the next part we'll be looking at is the celestial and the terrestrial. That's the heavenly and that's the earthly. That's the meaning of the two words. And that'll be in verse 39 through verse 40. And then last of all, we'll close this thing out by looking at verse 45 through 49. And that'll be the two Adams. Y'all realize there's two Adams. There's the first Adam and there's the second Adam, and we'll talk about that too. Okay, y'all ready to get into it? I'll try to get this done in a reasonable amount of time. You that are here today and saved, you pray that the Lord would help me with the unction of the Spirit. You need to pray for the preacher is what I'm trying to tell you. You need to pray for the preacher. You can have a whole lot more power and things if you have God's people praying for the preacher. And I covet that. I study hard and things, but you still need help. You still need help, and I need your help. And you pray that the Holy Spirit would bless today, that we perhaps would see somebody saved as a result of this message. Okay? So let's go ahead and move into it, and let's notice the two questions that are mentioned here in verse 35. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? They question the resurrection. And lost people usually do that. There's a lot of lost people that will challenge that there is really not such a thing as a resurrection, that when you die, that's it. You ever heard anybody say that? When you die, that's it. There is no life after this one. Well, we're in the life after business, ain't we? We believe that there's an eternity out there. We do believe that with all of our heart, that there's an eternity out there. And we also believe that the most important thing in this world is where you're going to spend eternity at. People, I think, waste a lot of time with the temporary, but they forget the eternal. And the eternal is the most important thing for you. I don't know if there's anybody here today that's lost, but I want you to think about what I just told you. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when the Lord's going to come. And if you're not ready for the eternal, you're hearing it right now that you need to be ready. And what in the world are you waiting on? I've said this a billion times from this pulpit. The biggest gamblers is not in Las Vegas. The biggest gamblers are those who actually believe that there is a heaven and actually believe that there's a hell, but they don't do anything about it. They gamble that they'll have more time in order to do it. I don't know if it's, I'm sure some of you have experienced this, but I experienced a lot as a pastor. Sometimes you'll talk to people and they have passed, and you know you've witnessed to them, and you've told them, and you've told them, and you've told them, and you've told them. And then when it's done, the family said, well, they went to your church. Were they saved? Not as far as I know. I know I told them. I know they heard me preach it. But whether or not they trusted it, I don't know. Y'all understand the position that I'm in a situation like that. When you don't know, that's a devastating thing for a family. You can't, I mean, when I do a funeral service, you can't stand before a family and say, well, I don't know whether there was or not. That's not very comforting, is it? What do you say? You know what you say? Does anybody know how I do it? I preach the gospel to the people that are there. I preach to their family. That's something I can do. Once they're gone, there's nothing that can be done for them. You can't go back and change anything then. That's why you need to be ready for the eternal. That's why it's so very important. Let's read on now, verse 35. Some men will say, how do the dead raise up? And with what body do they come? There's a lot of people that deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if there was no resurrection, then, like I've already said, you wouldn't have any hope. You wouldn't have any hope whatsoever. The question he asks is, how's it happen? How does the dead raise up? And with what body? With what body do they come in? So what are they doing here in this text? They're questioning the resurrection. How are the dead raised up? And what body do they come up in? Now notice the response that Paul gives in verse 36. Thou what? He calls them fool or foolish. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it do what? That which thou sowest, what sowest? What sowest mean? Means to plant. Everybody say plant. Means to plant. It says that you don't plant the body that shall be, but bare grain, and if it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleases him, every seed its own body. Every seed its own body. You know, for someone, and the reason why he calls them a fool is because it's foolish. Because you can look at the vegetable kingdom, I guess you could call it that. You could look at planting a garden. You can look at, have you ever looked at people that plant a garden? What do? They take a seed. What do with it? They plant it, which they bury it. They take that seed and they put it down in the ground. And then what happens later? A body comes up. In other words, what comes out is different than what you put in. I mean, let me use the illustration of a tulip. Does anybody plant tulips around here? Where's your right hand if you ever plant tulips? Stewie, don't you plant tulips? What's the matter with you? Have you ever seen a tulip bulb? You ever heard anybody brag on how pretty their tulip bulb was? You know why they don't brag on tulip bulbs? Because they're ugly. They're ugly. You don't see a pretty tulip bulb. But that tulip bulb is a what? It's a seed. What do you do with the tulip bulb? I'm asking. You plant it in the ground. Then what happens? After you, it usually takes, I don't know when, if it's in the fall or the spring, I don't know when you exactly plant tulip bulbs. But eventually what happens is they come up. And they come up in the spring. They come up around Easter time, don't we? Don't they? So you plant that seed in the ground, and then that seed does what? Comes up a different what? A different body. See, this is an illustration from nature, isn't it? You see this every spring. Do you know Jesus, whenever he resurrected, it was in the spring. And that's when everything was coming back to life. You go through that long winter months. And then the spring comes. And the very springtime is a picture of resurrection. You have all that seed that was in the ground, and then it comes, which is a picture of what again? Picture of the resurrection. The text says that you don't sow the body that shall be. And the idea of that is what comes back up out of the ground is going to be different than what went in the ground. There'll be a day that Jeff Arthur dies if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime. There'll be a day that I die. And then what does that mean then? Oh, they'll probably bury me in the ground. Then what's going to happen? There'll be a day. My spirit will go off to be with Jesus, but they'll plant my body in the ground. That's what they'll do. Now, I won't be in the ground. Does everybody in the house agree with me? I won't be in the ground. I'll be up in heaven with the Lord. My spirit will go off to be with the Lord. But in that place where they sowed this, what's this called right here? What am I calling my body right now? seed. It's a vowel body, that's for sure. Yeah. But it's seed. They're going to plant my body one of these days like what? Seed. They're going to put this seed in the ground. Then what's going to happen? When the trumpet of God is when the trumpet of God sounds, the scripture says, the dead in Christ shall. Oh, I'll come up out of there. That's called the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the justified. That's what it is. See, if I die, I'll go up in the first resurrection. If you'd be, oh, I'd love to be down to that down to the haven of rest and be doing a service and a committal service right out there in the middle of that thing. And here be the casket of the person that was there, and I would be doing that committal service, and then the trump of God would sound, and the shout of the Lord would go up. And you know what's going to happen then? The Bible says the dead in Christ will all rise first. Hey, have you ever noticed what they call graveyard? Y'all ever, huh? Memorial. They're called a memorial what? They're called a memorial garden. What do they call a graveyard a garden for? Because it's filled with what?
Seed.
Filled with seed. That's why they call them memorial gardens. It's filled with seed. Seed that's planted. And we'll come up again one day when the Lord Jesus comes. Now, beloved, you got to understand about this resurrection thing. There's two resurrections. There's two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the justified. See, I've been justified. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've been justified. But there will also be a resurrection of the unjust. Just, unjust. Which one do you want to go in? You want to go in the first one. You don't want to go in the second one. You know what they call that resurrection in the Scriptures? They call it the resurrection of the damned. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's what they call it. I can't stand to see people take the name damned and use it as a byword. It's a horrible thing. The most horrible thing that could ever happen to anyone is that they be damned. Do y'all agree with me? That word should never be used as a byword. Because it's a horrible thing that would happen to anybody. You don't want to be damned. One of the goofiest things I hear people do is they'll say, well, I'll be, and they'll use that wording. No, you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be that way. That's a horrible, horrible thing. Let's get back down to our text. So we plant a seed. Whenever someone, when we plant a seed, what do we do to it? It's buried. And then what happens to it? It comes up. Verse 37 says, we don't sow the body that shall be. The body that comes out will be different than the body that went in. Are we going to look the same? I don't know. Probably, I don't know. I guess we'll look the same. We'll know each other when we're there because that's the big, great blessing of going to heaven. But some of these things, we don't know exactly how they're going to turn, how they're going to go. Or how, all the specifics of it. I just know I'm going. And I know I'm going to have a body when I get there. And I know I'm going to see the Lord. And that's a glorious thing. So it says you don't sow, verse 37, you don't sow the body that shall be. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleases him. And to every seed its own body. So every one of us, if we die in Christ, we're going to get a new body one of these days. It's going to be a body that's incorruptible. It's called an incorruptible body. It means it won't age. Listen to this now. It won't age. It won't get sick. It won't sin. And it'll never die. Oh, God's people said, that's a coming. I'm going to get, would y'all like to have one of them? Would y'all like to have one of them bodies? You know what you have to do, though, to get it right? You got to trust Jesus as your Savior. You got to ask the Lord to save you. And He'll save you. He'll wash you clean and He'll give you everlasting life. And there's nothing any greater than that. Every seed will get a body. Every seed will get a body. Verse 39, all flesh is the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men. There's the flesh of beasts and another of fishes and another of birds. There is celestial bodies, that's heavenly bodies. That's bodies fit for glory. And then there's bodies terrestrial, which is earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Different bodies. Can I ask you a question? Are you ready for the resurrection? Amen. I am too. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Jesus to come? When He comes, the dead in Christ do what? They rise first. And then there'll be a group of people. It might be us. I don't know. There'll be a group of people that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And when the Lord comes with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ do what again? Rise first, and they which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. And that's called the Happy Reunion Day. You got anybody up there you want to see? How many's got anybody up there that they want to see? Raise your right hand. I just want to see. Isn't that awesome? Notice you're going to see them again. And you know why you know? Because somebody told you. Somebody told you that you were saved. Or somebody, you know, you shared it with others that you've been saved. People know that you have. People need to know whether you are or not, y'all think? I've had this happen a bunch of times to me over the years where people have come, they've maybe even come for years. And they pass. And their family a lot of times comes and talks to the preacher about such things as that. And I'll go, they'll go, well, what did you say? I said, I don't know. I know they came to church. But whether or not they trusted Jesus, they never did. They never did say anything. Do y'all understand you can't comfort anybody with that? You can't comfort them. I know they knew. I said this about people that I've been with before. I know they knew. But I don't know whether they trusted Him or not. All God's people said. That's why people need to know. Y'all think people need to know? Because the day you pass is really, it's the most important thing to is. The ones I have trouble with is the gamblers. I have a lot of trouble with gamblers. Y'all know who the gamblers are, right? Do y'all know who the biggest gamblers are in the United States? Y'all think I'm talking about a dog track, don't you? I'm not talking about the dog track. Where's the biggest gamblers at? Right here on earth and right here in churches. They believe what I'm telling you is right. They really do. But they've never trusted the message. It's like having a pill and you're dying. You got an affliction and you're dying. And here's a cure for it. You take this, you receive this in you, it'll make you whole and make you better. If you had somebody in your family that was doing that, and you come back a week later, and there they was sitting on the couch, and there that pill was sitting on the coffee table, you'd say, what? Have you took your pill? This thing has saved millions of people from the affliction that you have. If you take this pill, it'll make you whole. Well, I'm going to wait till later. What would you call them? It's foolish thing, the most foolish thing in the world you can do. Most foolish thing in the world you can do. So you need to, everybody needs to be ready. One of these days, I'm going to get a new body. All God's people say it. I'm going to get a new one. And let's look down at verse 42. talking about our body. I want you to notice it three times in a row here in 42, 43, and 44. It uses the term sown, which means to sow, which means to what? Plant. It refers to the resurrection as a planting. It refers to the resurrection as being planted. This body that we have will be sown in corruption. It's a corruptible body. Do y'all realize you have a corruptible body? Somebody, that was you. Somebody, it was Bertha. She looked at me this morning, she said, I see some gray hairs in there. Yeah, you know what that is? That's corruption. It's corrupting. I'm getting older. I got ready to get up and my hips all messed up. Yeah. Now my hips messed up. What's the world's going on? I'm corrupting. We're aging. We get weaker as we age. I walk by some of them big old weights I used to lift at one time, and I'm like, I'm going to sell these to somebody because I don't need them no more. Yeah, I don't need them no more. It's corrupting. Your body is too. I mean, we like to look at the mirror sometimes and go, yeah, still got it. No. Things are changing. We're waxing old. Beloved, can you see, as you wax old, it's a glorious thing to know where you're going. It's a glorious thing to know you got victory over sin, death, and hell. That's the greatest thing anybody could ever have. That's the most cost. I mean, it's the most expensive thing that Jesus ever done for us. The greatest thing he did was he came and was born under the law. He came and was born under the law so he could keep that law for you. Because everyone here in this church house today is a lawbreaker. Do y'all agree? We're all lawbreakers. We broke God's law and we're under a curse because of it. Jesus was born under the law so that he could keep that for you. And he kept it 100%. And when you trust him as your Savior, he charges to your account his righteousness. All God's people say it. That's the only way you can have enough righteousness to go to heaven. I mean, anybody that's trusting their deeds don't have enough righteousness because they can't do enough. The only one that can give you the righteousness you need is Jesus. That's what he does. He pays your sin debt. Because you're a lawbreaker too. You broke God's law. We were under a sin curse. So Jesus was born under law so that he could pay your debt for you. And then he imputes to you, Lonnie, 100% righteousness. And when you look at God's people in Revelations 20, 21, and when you look at God's people in the book of Revelations, every one of them, when they're showed in heaven, they'll have a white robe on. And that white robe is a representation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, God's people say it. Every one of us is going to get to heaven the exact same way. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus imputed to your account. Oh, God's people say it. That should make you happy. That's a glorious thing to have. And you must have it in order to get there. That's reason. So this body's sown in corruption, but it'll be raised in incorruption. I'm going to get an incorruptible body. Won't sin, get sick, or die. Sown in dishonor, be raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it'll be raised a spiritual body. See, it's going to be different. It's going to be perfect. Who's planned all that out? The Lord has. Glorious thing. Look at verse 45 now. As it is written, the first man, Adam, there's two Adams, ain't they? According to Scripture, one of the best gospel presentations you'll ever hear, if you go to Ken Ham's place that he has over in Cincinnati. He's got a museum there. He's got a place where he spreads the gospel to a lot of people. But he talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. First Adam is in the book of Genesis, right? Adam. Did he fail? Sure did. Was he our representative? I'm asking you. Did Adam in the garden represent us? We fell in Adam. I just want you to understand. He was our federal head. He represented us. He fell in the garden. He did. Would we have done the same thing? Absolutely. God made Adam upright. He knew better. The scripture says that Eve was deceived. She was deceived by the serpent. She was deceived by the serpent. But he never deceived Adam. Adam's sin was worse. He sinned with both eyes wide open. All God's people said. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? He freely chose to do what he did. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. All God's people said. Verse 45, as is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Hey, beloved, can I ask you a question? Who's the last Adam? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Let's read on here. As is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth and earthly. The second man is the Lord from where? The Lord from heaven. The second Adam is Jesus. Who is he? He's the Lord from heaven. Love, why did the Lord come down here and take flesh? Why did he do it? That's why he did it. He came down from heaven. Come in and the world as a babe. Lying in a manger. Why was he born of woman? So he could be born under the law. So he could keep it for you. So he could keep it for you. I don't know why he loved us that much, but he chose to do that for us. And without him, well, there's no hope of salvation. Beloved, there's no salvation in any other worldly religion. There's no other salvation in any other worldly religion. Muslims, that's a false religion. Hinduism is a false religion. Well, they believe in a supreme being. That's not enough to get you to heaven. You got to trust a substitute for your sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect man that ever walked this planet. And all of those worldly religions all have a dead founder. They have someone that founded their religion, but the founder is dead. Our founder is alive. He lives. All God's people say it. Yeah. Let me finish this up. The first man is of the earth, is earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Why did he come from heaven to take his place here on the earth? So he could pay your debt. So he could pay your sin debt in full. You know what? We leave this out, and I leave it out too. We know the Lord died for us, right? That's true, right? That's true. But, beloved, don't leave out the fact that he also lived for you. He also lived for you. Jesus was the only perfect man. Does everybody agree? Even I've heard sinner men say that. Jesus is the only perfect man. And he is. And he is. And he imputes to you his righteousness whenever you trust him as your Savior. Verse 48, as the earthly, such are they that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly. Are we bearing the image of the earthly right now? Yeah, we're in our earthly bodies. Y'all agree? We're in our earthly bodies right now. As we've borne the image of the earthly, now watch this now. This is good news for us. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, God's evil said. We'll get a heavenly body, one fit for glory. That new body will never get sick. That new body will never age. That new body will never sin. That new body will never die. Oh, God's people say it. Y'all like 1 Corinthians 15. That's a glorious text. You can spend a lot of time in it. But if you're here today and we read a lot, we talked about a lot about sowing and reaping. We talked about how our body has to be planted. One of these days we'll be planted in the ground or whatever. You need to be ready for all of these types of things. Two things could happen. Number one, you could die. Number two, Jesus could come. Do y'all believe Jesus could come today? If he would come today, are you ready? Are you ready? If you die, are you ready? That's what I wanted to leave you with today. 1 Corinthians 15 was our text. I'll put that online if you'd want to listen to it again, or I invite somebody else to listen to it. Because, beloved, what we preached on today is the most important thing in this world. There's nothing any more valuable than these type of things. Let's all stand. Thank you.